good morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, good morning. You're going to need your neighbor this morning, so get to know one another a little bit. My name is Trinity. I'm the executive pastor here at New Life Church. I'm also Pastor Troy and Pastor Keeley's oldest and favorite daughter. And so they're out of town today. They actually renewed their vows at a ceremony here last night that was just beautiful. And we want to thank you, those of you that were able to be here, that made that family time a priority, because New Life is an extension of our family. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We miss those of you that couldn't be there. It wasn't the same without you, but it was beautiful. And so they got in a car today and they are off to the beach, and we're not actually sure if they're going to come back, because they kind of insinuated that they wouldn't. No, they'll be back next week. But I would like to share with you a little bit this morning a word that I believe God put on my heart for New Life Church today. As I was preparing myself for today, God kept bringing me back around to a book at the end of the Bible. It's called 1 Peter. It's very near the end of your Bible, and you can flip open to that. And as you're getting there, I'll just tell you, it's a letter from the Apostle Peter, who is one of Jesus's followers. It's that Peter, the one that denied him three times. It's that Peter, the rock upon which Christ said he would build his church. That Peter wrote a letter. He wrote a letter to the believers in that area at that time. And they were new believers in Jesus. We know that because everybody was a new believer at that time, because Jesus had just come, had just died, and had just risen again. So anybody that was a Christian was a new Christian, because Christ was a new thing. And so he wrote this letter to the believers to encourage and instruct them in following Christ. And then God, as he inspired Peter to write this letter for these people, he included it in the Bible, in the Word of God that we read today, because it can encourage and instruct us as believers today. And I was reading this book. It's very short. It's only 5 chapters. It would be a great read for you this week. If you're not sure what you're going to read in your Bible this week, I'll tell you right now, you can read a chapter a day. It's very short. But I was reading it, and I was getting, was thinking about the church, and there's a little bit about believers, and the church is just a gathering of believers. I was thinking about the church, and you need to bear with me here, but I was thinking of how the church reminds me a little bit of a parking lot. The church reminds me of a parking lot, and the people in our church remind me a whole lot of cars. Now, this is just the way that my brain works, but there were some similarities I couldn't help but think about. A parking lot is just a gathering of cars, and a church is just a gathering of believers. A parking lot is where cars sit when they're not out in the road, and the church building is where we come together when we're getting prepared to go out into the world. In a parking lot, there are some cars that have been here a while and some cars that just got here, but we're all cars in the parking lot. And in a parking lot, there are all different types, styles, colors, different personalities, if you will, of cars. And so I was thinking about it, and I was wondering if you could think to yourself what kind of car you might be if New Life Church was a parking lot. Not kind of what kind of car you want to be, because, you know, we all want to be like a Maserati, right? But you might just be like a reliable commuter car. I don't know. You might be like a flashy sports car. I don't know. Think about yourself. I'm not talking about your appearance. I'm talking about how you feel. Some of you might say, right now, I am a dirty minivan, and I am full of crushed up goldfish and discarded homework papers, right? And some of you might say, I am a dented, scratched up work truck, and I am loaded down with all the projects that I need to get done right now. Some of you might say, I am an old car, not old necessarily in body, but old in that I am so tired and I am just a few miles away from breaking down and I need some maintenance. Some of you might be like my parents, who recently upgraded from the Yukon that housed 7 kids, and now mom drives a very nice Dodge Charger that nobody is allowed to eat in. So different phases of life, different cars. I don't know what kind of car you think you are. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, you're a hot rod. Oh, absolutely. There you go. You just made a friend. Look at that. Listen, whatever kind of car you are, I want you to know that we're really glad that you're parked here this morning. But I was reading 1 Peter as I was thinking about this, and, you know, God created my brain, so he had to know this was coming. And Peter is talking all these cars that recently pulled in to the parking lot of Christianity. And a lot of this book sounds like a list of things that those people need to do and not do. A list of things that you should do and that you shouldn't do. And to be honest with you, I was struggling as God kept bringing me around. I was like, God, no, I want to go a different direction. He's like, First Peter. I said, I don't want to look at that list. It makes me feel like I'm doing everything wrong. I don't want to see a list of do's and don'ts. But God challenged me. And I was studying and praying and reading and reading and reading. And the more I read, the more I realized that this is not a list that Peter has created to tell Christians what they should do. It is Peter telling Christians who they are. Peter is talking about identity. So if the church is a parking lot and the people in it are cars, then the way we would maybe share our personality and who we are a little bit would be with our bumper stickers. You ever seen somebody with a bunch of bumper stickers on the back of their car and you can kind of get an idea of their personality? Or maybe they have no bumper stickers except one and you think, wow, you must really want pets to be spayed or neutered if you went out and bought that and peeled the backing on it on the back of your car. You really want people to know that. Right? So bumper stickers tell us a little bit about the personality of the car. And so that's the question I feel like God wants us to answer today. If you're a car in the parking lot of New Life, what's on your bumper sticker? Who are you? What's on your stickers? See, maybe you have one of these bumper stickers. It says, I'd rather be fishing. I'd rather be fishing, or I'd rather be running, or dancing, or sewing, or gaming, or rock climbing. This is your activity. This is your thing, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'd rather be fill in the blank. But, like, don't say fill in the blank. Just, like, what would you rather be doing right now? I'd rather be fill in the, I gotta tell you, I'd rather be sleeping. But I'm really glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So as you're thinking about your fill in the blank, this is something you spend your time and your money and your energy on. It's part of who you are. You'll know that other people see this when they start to introduce you this way. This is Bill. He'd rather be fishing. In the right way, though, with the right focus, as we look at this verse, we see that even our hobbies can be used for the glory of God. And in that way, our hobbies and the activities that we spend our time doing are wonderful things. They're part of who you are. So you have your I'd rather be sticker, those activities that you engage in during your life. And another bumper sticker you might have to define who you are is going to be this one. Aw, it's a family. It's a family. You love your family, right? You love them and they're your pride and your joy, or they drive you absolutely crazy, but they're your family, right? Either way, they're part of who you are. Psalm 127 tells us that children are a heritage from the Lord. Proverbs 31 says, an excellent wife is worth far more than precious jewels. Exodus reminds us to honor our father and mother. Proverbs also tells us that grandchildren are the crown of the aged. I couldn't find anything good in the Bible about husbands. Just kidding. But I couldn't. Family is great. Throughout the Bible, God uses family relationships to help us understand his relationship with us. Jesus compares himself to the groom, and the church is his bride. And God calls himself our father. So, of course, God wants us to engage in family relationships, specifically healthy, productive, happy family relationships, so that we can understand what it's like to be in a healthy, productive, happy relationship with our Father God. Your family is a wonderful thing, and it's part of who you are. So you've got your I'd rather be sticker with what you do and all the things that you do, and you've got your family sticker that tells us a little bit more about who you are, and we're starting to get this picture, and then maybe you have one of these. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am not going to go there. It doesn't matter what your political sticker would say. The point is that you have your opinions and the things that you believe in and you stand up for. Are your opinions in line with the Bible? I sure hope so. I really hope so. In Romans 13:1, we're told, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Now, we can talk about politics all day. I don't want to. But what I want to do for just a second is praise God that we happen to live in a nation where the part of the authority that has been established is our own. And so how are you using that voice, that opportunity to speak out and use your platform? Proverbs 31, 8, and 9 commands us, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Your opinion, your platform, your vote, your voice in alignment with God's word can be a tremendous thing. So there's this this sticker that tells us what you do, your activities that you like to participate in, the sticker that tells us about your family, and maybe you've got a bumper sticker about your opinions and your beliefs. There's another sticker that you might have on your car, and I want to think about it for just a second. It's this one. Jesus is your co-pilot. At first blush, this seems like a good sticker, right? Because it has Jesus on it, and whoop, whoop, we like anything that has Jesus on it. But I can tell you that I think God wants us to think long and hard about this one, because if Jesus is your co-pilot, it's time to switch seats. Think about it. How often have you done this? You pick the destination. You chart the course. You load up the car. You pick the music, and then you tell Jesus that he can ride shotgun to help you get where you're going. In Luke 6:46, Jesus is talking to his followers, the people that believe in him and are following him. He's talking to us, and he poses a very simple question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? What does that word Lord mean? We use it a lot, just kind of synonymous with Jesus or God, like another name. But what does that word Lord mean? What's a Greek word? Greek word kurios. And it's used dozens of times in the New Testament by Jesus and other authors. And it means master. More specifically, it means a person exercising absolute ownership rights. Let me tell you that when we were born, God gave us the opportunity to be Lord of our own lives. He gave us rule, dominion, authority over our own lives. That's what free will is. He gave it to us knowing that it would be better for us if he was Lord. And his belief, his hope for us, his call to us is that we freely give back lordship of our lives to him because he can handle it better than we can. Our lives will go the way that they're supposed to go when we give lordship back over to Jesus Christ. And we call him Lord, that one who is exercising total authority over our lives. So this same word, kurios, I found it somewhere else in the Bible. It's in Romans 10:9. And you'll see it on the screen. It says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is my co-pilot, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That is not what it says. It says, if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. When we give our lives over to Jesus, it's all. It's every part. It's our activities. It's our family. It's our relationships. It's our job. It's every single thing that we put our hand to. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm Jesus's co-pilot. So hopefully you don't have that sticker on your car. But if you do, it might be time to wrestle with that a little bit today. But there's one more sticker. One more bumper sticker that I want to ask you about this morning. Maybe you have this sticker on your car. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, snap. See, this is not talking, I have one of these on my car. This is not talking about the multitude of babies that have come into New Life this year that are coming by the end of the year. We have actually quadrupled our nursery size this year. Hallelujah, New Life, good job. A decent percentage of that was my family. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about our capacity and our tendency to be spiritual babies. Now, let me tell you a little bit about babies. My son is 6 months old, and my husband and I are new parents who have learned a lot in the last half of a year. And so I just want to share with you a little bit of what I've learned about babies. The main thing I know about babies is that babies don't care. Babies don't care. They don't care if you're hungry. They're hungry. It's time for them to eat. Let your food get cold. They don't care if you just ate. They don't care if they just ate. They don't care if they're currently eating. They're hungry, and you better feed them right now. Babies don't care if you're tired. They don't care. They don't care that you haven't slept in hours. They don't care that you can't see straight. They don't care that you cannot absorb any more caffeine physically into your body. They slept all day. They're up. They're ready to party. Up and at them, partner. Babies don't even care where your body is. They don't care where your head is. You're holding my kid. He wants his head to be where your head is. He will slam his little skull so hard into the side of yours that you will see stars and you will taste blood. And then he will cry and you have to comfort him even though you have a concussion. Babies don't care. So I have to ask you this. Are you a baby on board? Do you treat God like he's the parent and you're an infant? Do you demand to be given what you want right now? Do you ignore the needs around you in favor of your own? Do you scream when you don't get your way? In Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, Paul reminds the believers to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Selfish ambition would be getting something for yourself. Vain conceit would be wanting the attention on you. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not value others as much as you value yourself. Value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. It's interesting, isn't it, that there's no caveat there. But also see to your own needs if you need to. See, I think Paul is setting up the church there. He's saying that if we do this right and everybody is looking out for everybody else's interests, then you will never have to look out for your own interests because somebody else will be looking out for your interests while you're looking out for somebody else's interests. That's our job as a church, is to take care of one another. They will know we are Christians by our love. Here at New Life, we have prayerfully, and I say we have prayerfully adopted a set of values. You'll see them on the screen. They're posted on our website. Hopefully you've heard them all the time. Pastor Troy talks about them often. Our team does. I'm just going to take a minute and read these to you. Number one, we are faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers. We'll never insult God with small thinking and safe living. Number two, we are all about the capital C church. The local church is the hope of the world, and we know we can accomplish infinitely more together than apart. Number three, we give up things we love for things we love even more. It's an honor to sacrifice for Christ and his church. Number four, we will do anything short of sin to reach people who don't know Christ. To reach people no one is reaching, we'll have to do things no one is doing. We will lead the way with irrational generosity. We truly believe it is more blessed to give than to receive. We will laugh hard, loud, and often. We sure did last night. Nothing is more fun than serving God with people you love. We always bring our best. Love is in the details. We are spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. The church does not exist for us. We are the church, and we exist for the world. And finally, we will honor Christ and his church with integrity. If we live with integrity, nothing else matters. If we don't live with integrity, nothing else matters. So this is who we are at New Life. And the funny thing I realized, especially this week as I was thinking about it, was that I think God would not have given us these words at this time for us to post and talk about and think about and memorize if we were already doing these things. This is who God has called us to be, and so I find myself in these kind of conversations in church. I'm not being served. Well, we're spiritual contributors, not spiritual consumers. But this isn't how I've done it before. Listen, we will do anything short of sin to reach those that don't know Christ, but it makes me uncomfortable. We are faith-filled, big-thinking, bet the farm risk takers. But I wanted to change. Listen, we give up things we love, but things we love even more. I don't feel like serving in that ministry anymore. Well, we'll lead the way with irrational generosity. 1 Peter 2:10 tells us the believers, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. And Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, just like in our first birth, when we were born into this world, we had to be born as babies with no skill and no maturity whatsoever. And we had to go through phases in order to come to maturity. We had to lay before we sat up. We had to sit up before we pulled up. We had to crawl before we walked, and we had to walk before we ran. We had to go through the phases to become a mature adult. That's the same way with being born again as a Christian in your second birth. You are born as a spiritual baby, and that's okay. You have to go through phases of maturity to become a mature follower of Jesus Christ. We have to do it, but here's the deal. It's okay to start out as babies, but God didn't design us to stay there. He didn't design us to stay as babies, spoiled, snotty, and sitting in our own filth. We must mature into the followers that Christ has called us to become. So we're looking at the different types of who we are. You've got these first few stickers here, the I'd rather be fill in the blank, that signifies the activities that you participate in, and you've got your opinions and your ideals, and you've got your family, and we're getting a picture of who you are. All of those things are great things. They can be used for the glory of God. The hobbies you have can be used for God's glory. It's good to love your family the way that God loves us. And it is a beautiful thing when we can use every platform afforded us, political and otherwise, to represent God's values and ideals. But having hobbies and loving our families and having opinions, it's nothing different from those that don't know Jesus. In fact, charting your own course and letting Jesus be your co-pilot and being a baby on board, only looking out for yourself, looking out for number one, that's nothing different than the world around us. And we're not called to be like everyone else in the world. We're called to be different. So what makes us different? For starters, we don't find our identity in these things. We aren't defined by our hobbies or our opinions or even our family. The first part of Acts 17:28 in the Living Bible says, for in him we live and move and are. It's talking about Christ. Listen, we aren't defined by earthly things. Our identity is found in being a child of God. So who are you in Christ? Well, let me tell you. You are saved. You are new. You are free. You are holy and blameless. You are more than a conqueror. You are peaceful beyond understanding. You are joyful in hope. You are spirit-filled and spirit-led. You are clad in the armor of God, and the evil one cannot touch you. You are capable of doing all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are an overcomer. You are part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are salt. You are light. You are a city on a hill. You are chosen. You are called, you are equipped, and you are loved. Church, you are the children of God. And that is where we find our identity. So what about if Jesus is your co-pilot? What about if you are a baby on board? Do we need to change those things? Absolutely you do. And if God has brought to your heart a piece of conviction about something that you need to give up or something that you need to do differently or something that you need to start doing, then do it. But remember, we're discovering that 1 Peter is a book where Peter isn't outlining what we need to do. It's telling us who we are. 1 Peter 1:15 tells us, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. What does that word holy mean? It's a word that just means set apart. Set apart. Just like God is set apart, we need to be set apart. When our identity is found in Christ and we operate, we live as his children, our behavior will change naturally. We can be holy in all we do. This morning, I don't think God is asking us to work at peeling off our bumper stickers. If you've ever bought a used car with some bumper stickers on it, or you've changed your mind or your candidate lost, you know how hard it is to get a bumper sticker off the back of your car. It's hard work and it's hard to peel off and it tears, and very rarely do you escape without a little bit of residue and damage to your car. I don't think that's what God wants us to spend our time doing this morning, peeling off those habits that we've created and those things that we do. Instead, I think God is challenging us to turn the car over to him to be changed and transformed into something new altogether, something set apart. Church, I'm going to ask you to stand as the worship team comes, and I'm going to ask you to honor God by bowing your head, closing your eyes for just a moment. This isn't about anybody else. This isn't about what you think somebody else should have gotten from this, and it isn't about what other people are thinking of you. So close your eyes, honor God in this, and just hear me for a moment. This is between you and God. Today, I think God has already made it clear to us which bumper stickers we have on and whether or not they please him. The only question is whether we are willing to hand the car over to him to let it be what he wants it to be. Have you been finding your identity outside of Christ? Have you been defining yourself by what you do or who you love or by your own opinions? Have you been defining yourself by the people you do activities with or the people that love or don't love you or the people that will or won't listen to your opinions? Maybe you've been charting your own course, content to let Jesus ride shotgun, play co-pilot, and have no other control. Or maybe you've been a baby on board, intent on your own way, with no regard for the plans God has for you or the needs of anyone around you. Or maybe you're living some combination thereof. This morning, God is asking if you'll surrender yourself to him for a transformation. He's not asking you to do different. He's asking you to let him help you be different. So please honor God with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, with no one looking around, just between you and Jesus. I want to know who will answer God's call this morning. Who has a car that needs to be turned over to him? If you want to respond, then I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as a sign of surrender. Say, God, take my car. Your hands down this morning. Oh God, thank you. Thank you that your kindness leads us to repentance. Thank you for your kind word and your kindness in being with us this morning. God, we ask that as your Holy Spirit is here even now, that he would begin to do his work to convict us, Lord, not to shame, but to change. God, I ask this morning that you would help us change behaviors. God, make new habits, but I ask that you would help us to focus, Lord, not on doing different, but on being different. And you have your way in our lives. We praise you this morning, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, we're going to worship together this morning. And if you surrendered something to God, if you surrendered a part of yourself this morning that had not been previously surrendered, then you began a process of transformation. And transformation, we know, does not happen instantaneously. For while God is capable of that, so often he has lessons for us to learn in the change, and he allows time to be taken for that process. But you took a beautiful step in surrendering to him this morning. And so we're going to sing a song that says, I will only sing your name, God, above all of these other things. It is your name that is above all. And I will sing until the miracle comes, until the transformation is complete. I will praise your name. So would you lift your voices this morning in praise of a worthy God? Welcome here, God. Thank you.
His hands on you, and you surrender to his will, you get a whole
hope you'll take this sticker and I hope you'll put it on your car. Or I hope you'll put it somewhere where you can see it every day. And when you see it, I hope you'll remember that when we surrender ourselves to God, we get a brand new life. Thank you for being here today. I want you to know that if you're parked here in this parking lot, you belong here. And this parking lot would not be the same without your car. Thank you for spending this short time with us this morning. Pastor Troy will be here next week, and I'm just as excited about it as you are. He's going to be finishing his series on intentionality, his final message, and God has really just aligned all that together. So be here next week to hear the word of God. And I want to bless you before you go into your Thanksgiving week and remind you that even though this is supposed to be a week of giving thanks, quite often it is the week where you are likely to regress back to who you were because your mother-in-law is going to be there. But please remember to walk in the transformation that God has begun to work and to trust that he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. Praise God. So this morning, church, this week, would you let me bless you as you go? May God bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you may abound in every good work. We love you, church. God bless you. You're dismissed.